right, good morning again. This exhortation is really entitled, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. So I thought it was rather pertinent, just this particular story of this poor father and his son in this predicament. And I thought maybe we could glean something from the story that we can apply to our own lives and help motivate us in our walk and just help us get closer to our Heavenly Father. So I think really, as a means of introduction, that we all go through times in our lives when we experience spiritual highs and feel renewed, much like the batteries that Mark's found for his recorder. Times when we can take ourselves away from the distractions of daily life and focus on the plan and purpose of our Heavenly Father. Sometimes being surrounded by his creation, seeing his handiwork all around us. Or perhaps attending a Bible school and being surrounded with others of a like faith. Making supplication and prayer and feeling closer to him. Knowing that he cares for you and sensing his presence more fully. It is also true there are other times for most of us that our faith can waver and we may have doubts and struggle to take God at his word and trust his plan for our lives. So in the reading that we did in the New Testament in Mark chapter 9, we see two accounts that seem to mirror these opposing experiences. In verses 2 to 13, we read of Jesus and three of his disciples high up on a mountain where Jesus is transfigured, conversing with Elijah and Moses, where God speaks from heaven and declares Jesus as his beloved son. It is a truly awesome demonstration that divinely affirms Jesus' position as the promised Savior and Son of God, and that his words can be trusted implicitly. It certainly left an impression on Peter, James, and John, who witnessed it firsthand and were exceedingly afraid. Literally, it says, frightened out of their wits. A divine vision of the glory of the kingdom age to come, elevated both spiritually and physically, high up in the mountains. Picking up in verse 14, the situation changes, and we are reminded how fragile our faith can be as Jesus, Peter, James, and John return back down to the world below, back to the rest of the disciples, back to the realities of life where faith can wane. We see a lack of faith in the followers of Jesus, who despite their being empowered with the Holy Spirit in Mark 6 verse 7, where it says Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits, they were prevented from healing the sick boy because of their imperfect faith. It is in some ways reminiscent of the chaos that greeted Moses after he returned from the presence of God, having received the commandments high up in the mountain, to find a people whose faith had faltered and had forgotten God, turning their heart to idols. There are some similarities to what we read in Mark 9, with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, having been on the mountain and seen the glory of God, as well as hearing the very voice of God, return to a people marked by small faith. This is a story of a sick, epileptic boy, a desperate father, and weak disciples. Jesus, Peter, James, and John return to find the other nine disciples in the midst of a crowd, involved in an argument with the scribes. While this was not an unusual occurrence, note, however, the contrast between this tumult and the mountain they had just walked down. Jesus interrogates the scribes, yet it is the distraught father that is the first to respond instead. He had come to Jesus' disciples hoping to have them manifest the same power that Jesus had from God, but he did not find it. Once Jesus had arrived, All eyes turn to him. In verse 15 it says, immediately when they saw him, that is Jesus, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him greeted him. This man was like so many in the Gospels that have come to Jesus in desperation. Mark records information in great detail regarding the boy's suffering and the father's desperation. A son who could not express himself, as he was mute from a child, despite all the pain, he could not even speak about it. Having many seizures, being thrown to the ground, foaming at the mouth, grinding his teeth, and his body becoming rigid. A life-threatening danger that has on many occasions caused him to almost drown and given him severe burns. His father was scared and helpless, having rescuing him from drowning in water and risking his own safety, pulling him out of the fire, tending to his wounds many times, the constant daily fear of what would happen next. This is a man who was desperate for help. Jesus' disciples were in the area. He had heard that they could cure people of unclean spirits before. Mark 6 verse 13 tells us that. And had come to them in hope, yet they were unable to help. Symbolic of our own human weakness and inability to deliver ourselves from sin and death. Only through the sacrifice and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is it possible. In verse 19, we see Jesus rebuke his disciples for their lack of faith. He strains, "How long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear you?" This has been an ongoing theme up to this point in Mark. Jesus recognizing and calling out their lack of faith, the lack of faith with his disciples. The same men who had feared they would drown on the stormy Sea of Galilee when the waves swamped their boat while Jesus slept on board in Mark 4 verse 40. As soon as Jesus was going to leave, and these other men left that he would entrust to carry out his mission to spread the gospel message into the world. But they continued to be slow to learn. They just had a trial run. He was gone only a short time, and they were left, and they demonstrated weak faith. We see the response of Christ was holy frustration. Jesus was not wearied by the poor or the sick, but he is greatly wearied by human unbelief. We see this in Jesus' response. His disappointment to his disciples that had been with him through his ministry and seen many miraculous displays of his power, and yet their faith was still weak. We too can be like the disciples when we're given to doubt, fear, and worry. We have situations in our lives that are hard and overwhelming, and we can forget that we have a God that we can trust and care for us. Jesus' rebuke resonates with God's frustration of the children of Israel who had forgot the miracles, rejected the good spies' report, feared the Canaanites, and longed to return to Egypt. We're told in Numbers 14 verse 11, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?'" God had delivered them out of slavery in Egypt, guided them with a pillar of fire and cloud, walked them through the Red Sea with walls of water on either side that subsequently swallowed up Pharaoh's army. They had been fed and provided for in the wilderness. And when they complained of the food, he gave them something different to eat. And yet, When they stand at the border of the land they have been promised, they become fearful and think they can never go in. The enemy is too strong. They had weak faith. They don't believe God can finish what he started. As if God did not know who was living in the land when he took them out of Egypt, or that he didn't have a plan to give them what he had promised. They doubted. And we can do it too. While God has been faithful in all things, we are quick to doubt his goodness and his care for us, and slow to go to him with our needs. God can't save me. The giants of my fleshly nature are too powerful for me to fight. Mark 9 verse 19, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? These words can be applicable to us when we lack faith. Jesus curiously does not immediately heal the sick boy, but engages the father in conversation. Now, just note that Jesus is not indifferent toward the pain and suffering of both the father's and the boy's lives. We can see the compassion of our Lord as Jesus listens to the father's plight. He stands before Jesus and he pleads for compassion and help. Before Jesus heals the boy, he first points out a deficiency in the man's request. The man had asked Jesus, "If you can." Jesus calls for confidence and faith. He replies, "All things are possible to him who believes." Compare this with the leper in Mark 1 verse 40 who approached Jesus and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." The question was not doubting Jesus' ability, but the question was, "Will you make me clean?" The desperate father's request is different. His is, "If you are able, if you can," almost. Jesus points out the discrepancy and continues teaching on the importance of faith. He responds almost as if to say, "You asked if I can. All things are possible to those who believe." This does not mean that God will grant us everything we ask for. He is calling us to ask in faith, to ask knowing and believing that God is able, that nothing is impossible for him. Jesus talks in the next chapter about how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven in Mark 10 verses 26 to 27, to which the disciples respond, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus says, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Remember Jairus' daughter in Mark 5, when he came to beg Jesus to heal her while she is yet sick. But before Jesus can even go, word comes that she's died, and Jairus is tempted to give up hope. But Jesus encourages him with the words, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Many times in Mark, we see the call to greater faith, and that nothing is impossible with God. He expects his people to approach him with confident faith in his ability. Here Jesus has expressed his frustration in the lack of faith shown by his disciples. And now here is a father with a great need, but comes to Jesus with insufficient faith. So Jesus admonishes him gently. All things are possible to him who believes. The father responds with one of the most truly heartfelt cries of confession in all of Scripture. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." A confession of faith and a cry for help. even on our best days, we are people of insufficient faith. In our weakness, we should come to God, bringing the request with the faith we have and asking for greater faith. Just as the desperate father does, bringing our request before God, who is able. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It reminds us of our frailty and that we are the ones that always need help from God, not the other way around. Don't let your doubts keep you from asking God for help. Remember that God is able and willing to answer. Jesus accepts the Father's plea. The man confessed his faith and admitted his weakness. Jesus heard him and he answers, extending mercy to the boy and releasing him from his affliction. Verses 26 to 27 highlight a type of baptism where the boy is assumed dead and raised by Jesus, cleansed of his impurities to a newness of life. The miracle we read of reminds us that our current world is imperfect and we cannot fix it. But our God has the power to change everything. God is able. The need for faith is shown again in verses 28 to 29. Where the disciples asked Jesus why they lacked the ability to cure the boy, to which our Lord says, this is only possible through prayer. He reinforces the need for prayerful dependence on God, humbling ourselves before him and confessing that we need him. We have talked about the importance of faith. And now we hear the importance of prayer, which is a demonstration of faith. If we rely on our own strength, we will always fail, just like those disciples. We must be a people who rely on God, and our dependence is most evident in our commitment to prayer. The book of James further encourages us in James 5, verse 16. Where he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In conclusion, we too, like the desperate father, are helpless to save ourselves. With our sinful nature threatening to burn us in the fires of human desire or drown us in the sea of confusion in the world about us, we need saving from ourselves, as we can never, with our own imperfect faith, be declared righteous with our own works. Instead, we must depend and have faith in our Heavenly Father, who has provided a true sacrifice for all of humankind, that is able to wash away the sins and cover us with the white wedding garments through the blood of the righteous Lamb of God, who we remember at the beginning of this week once more. Let us remember our Lord and the bread and wine set before us, how he showed the love and compassion of God in his life, healing the sick, caring for the poor, and sharing the good news of the kingdom, so that all might be saved who call upon him. Symbolized in the wine before us, we see the greatest display of his love and the laying down of his life willingly upon that cross, so that we might have a hope and a means of redemption. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15, verse 13. As we think about how much God has done for us to prepare the way for us to enter his glorious kingdom on earth, as we stand at the border of the land of the promise and the imminent return of our Savior, let us not doubt and lack faith as the children of Israel that perished in the wilderness, But let us instead echo the plea of the desperate father, calling to Jesus to deliver him from his anguish. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Thank you.